Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
More people like you, like everyone needs to think like that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna talk about like my youngest son, actually, he declared that he's bisexual, and he obviously, like, he was going through this. I don't know if he's actually true, because there's a lot of pressures now in society.
Yeah,
like a lot of things going around at school. There's a lot of people that saying they're gay, so I don't know thing, but he was going through some depression. I could see there's something wrong with him, and he come out of it finally. He's crying and that, he's saying, and he said he's bisexual, care like boys and girls. And I was like, finally, I don't care. Like, he's all upset, thinking I was going to be upset and stuff. And it was emotional. I was like, I love you regardless, no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter if you're gay, bi, or anything. That's got nothing to do with who you are. Your sexuality means nothing. Like, it's got nothing to do with anything. Like,
it's something you do, like,
to
5 to 1 hour. Like, you know, it's like nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, but obviously it's big to him, you know, and I could tell he was thinking about it a lot. And I just said to him, like, you're way too young to be thinking about this. Like, you've not even finished puberty yet. Like, please don't even think about any of this yet. You'll figure it out. Like, when you get a bit older, don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself out. Just know that I love you and stuff. And, so I started thinking about, obviously, the gay community and all these sort of things. And I was worried, like, that there is pressures, like, people labeling themselves as gay. And there is, like, I feel there was, like a fashion aspect of it. Like, it's almost trendy, you know?
Yep.
And it's being fed. And every girl wants to have a gay boyfriend, a friend, and all these sorts of things. You know, like people acting gay just to be like, it's strange stuff going on, you know?
And yeah,
it affects people mentally, psychology, not knowing if they're a man or a woman. This messes up the society, like, dangerously, you know? And it's fine, everyone can all have their sexual preferences and that. But like you know this, I don't need to say this to you, you know? But everyone needs to think like you. It's just part of you, you know? It's nothing. You're still just a human being. You know, and like the color thing, and these things are asked now though on job interviews and stuff like that. They ask if you're gay. I remember this years ago when I was
England too.
Yeah,
when
I was 19. When I was 19, what, 20 years ago? They're asking my ethnicity thing, sexuality, ethnicity, all these things. I'm like, I always just put NA. What the fuck does it matter what religion is? I used to put Jedi and stuff as a jet. Do you know Jedi is considered one of the second biggest religions in the world, because so many jokers like me just put Jedi in them things instead of putting Christianity or whatever. But I was christened as a kid, but I don't consider myself christened. But again, like them labels and that, I tie this all in. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy, because it's not a conspiracy, but I believe that, well, actually, I don't believe it's not a conspiracy, but the labels and that, maybe it did come out of a good place, you know, because the justification for having race and ethnicity and stuff on job applications in England and sexual preference is because people worried that there was discrimination going against black people and gay people. So they wanted what they do now is they actually employ gay people. Basically, we need to do both. I believe, like, we need to find spiritual enlightenment.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and then we need to, at the same time, look into system change, because obviously, if the system changes, more people would be able to think. I don't know which needs to go first. I don't know why I think about it. They both need to be done, I guess, you know?
Right. Well,
I feel like that's what I was going to say. We can't do one. It just can't be. So we can't all just find spiritual enlightenment, right? Because I had this saying, I did this post on Facebook, we can lead a horse to water, or why lead a horse to water, yeah? Show it how to drink, and then just to throw it back out into the desert. Because that's what I feel like we do. We could all find spiritual enlightenment, awakenment, and then we're just throwing each other back out there into the system, and they're just going to get lost and drown again in capitalism, you know, and their soul's going to get diminished again. We're all going to get divided again. So, like, we can save each other, but then we need to change the system. We can't just keep going back in. So we can't just have one or the other. Like, so we all do need to find that connection to oneness, but we have to change the system with it. Otherwise, we're all just get disconnected again. Because yeah, I believe the system is what is driven the disconnect from nature. It's driven us away from, well, basically just nature. That's what we're not connected to, really, nature. You know, mm-hmm. We see ourselves as separate, and we're destroying the planet.
Right. Well, as you mentioned in that, my mind went back to the Philly video. Yeah. Think about it. Okay, so let's say if you're homeless, yeah, you're still part of the capitalist system because you're using it, but less than me and most people. But since then, just like as an example, I'm not saying they're not spiritual, but let's say if they're not spiritual and they're not playing the capitalist system and they're there. So this is why I feel like maybe it needs to be simultaneously, because when you are enlightened, you want better systematically, definitely. And so we all playing the game of capitalism. There's this guys called Krusties in the US. They're like walking around with the dogs and they're homeless. And a lot of them are from prominent families, like rich, wealthy folks. They just want to be Buddha and just leave the palace and walk around with dogs and ask for money. But they said they're not contributing to capitalism because they're not having a job and they're not doing all this stuff, but they're begging for food and money, which came from capitalism.
Yeah. And then spending it on where they're buying the food from.
Yes, and also on drugs too, because you can tell. And so, because I used to have a lot of friends like them, and we would talk about those things, but whenever I bring things back to responsibility and what have you done, people get like mad, and all of a sudden they can't be my friend anymore because I'm not going along with their thing. Because a thing for my life, my motto is responsibility, and what am I doing? Like you were saying, like, are you adding to the fire, or are you fixing something? And so it's tough. Like, I haven't done it. Actually, I am kind of doing it, because for 2 years, I refused to work. I'll tell you why I refused to work. I made a kind of video about it. I made a video where I refused to take the mark of the beast. I refused to trade my body in order to work. And I know I've done that prior to 2020. I trade my peace. I trade my sleep and a lot of things in order to work. But I feel like this is breaking the camel's back, or whatever that term is. I need to literally give you my body in exchange to work.
It's your soul, isn't it? It's your soul. That's what I like to tell you, saying your soul.
Yeah. Like,
they're right.
So basically, I'm like, you know what? Even my landlord, he's every month when I pay him rent, he's asking me questions. Are you vaxxed? And are you working?
Are you vaxxed?
Yeah. So I tell him, don't worry, I have money. He says, I've been there for a long time, and he let me take care of
out of concern. Like, yeah, he's really nice though. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty nice, but you know, it's also business too. So, and I tell him, I'll have your rent no matter what. And if I don't, I'll let you know. I'm not stupid enough to be home. I'll do what I need to do. Like,
yeah,
I'll sell everything in my room. I'll do whatever else. I'll go panhandle. But
yeah.
I'm very strong-headed on, I'm done playing the rat race. And actually, I was talking to a guy. He was saying like, oh, there's this job, the job that I wanted to do, to do lights in a theater. And they start at 25. Eventually, you make 30, 20, 35, and you can run the place eventually. And I wanted to do that. And because now there's not a job shortage, but there's an employee shortage. And he says, we're even willing to give you a bonus and teach you how to do it, because nowadays they don't care for experience because they need people.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like the devil's trying to tempt me, but yeah, I needed to get vaxxed. Yeah. My opportunity to make 50K, 60K eventually or more.
That's so bad, isn't it?
So I was just
how
like,
have we got to this? Like, I don't like, yeah, I can't even really think.
You know who I blame? I used to say people like you and me, but I'm not playing the game anymore. I'm going to say like 2 years ago, I would blame me because I was playing the game. You cannot say you're against something and you're playing the game, because I know a lot of like the crusties would do it. You cannot be using money or even if you're using temporarily, if you're doing your best, even Jack Fresco, like he had this place and he had to get volunteers and use money, et cetera. Because if you're in a system, you can't go like cold turkey, but at the same time, you can't like go getting vaxxed and still playing the corporate ladder and doing all this bullshit. And then you're saying that, I mean, you can, I'm not judging you. That's your life. But you know, it's like, so that's why I'm like, I'm done playing the game. I refuse. I make my money online. I have a lot of different sources to get money. And my rent had been reduced and it's still a lot, but if it's paid, I'm grateful for that. So that's why you need to know. And then you need to stop playing the system. So if you stop going to work, I always say, if I become a billionaire, I want to pay people for 1 year to not go to work so they can break the system. But because I saw Corona happen, I don't think it's going to happen, because Corona did that for many, many people that I could pay for, and the system is still going on life and well. So in his consciousness, and people to actually want to. But people need to know about the Venus Project, because has it even been implemented beside Venus, Florida? Has it been other places? Well,
the Venus Project, I'm not even that sold. I'm not 100% Venus Project. I just like the concept of resource-based economy. And Jack said himself that obviously he expects his ideas to be taken and improved upon, you know? I've seen a lot of people, that Fred where you asked about the podcast, I was getting in, there was heated debate. Like, I felt like I didn't want to, I was getting annoyed with the people, but everyone seemed to have their own ideas and what the Venus Project was. And you know, people were talking about dictating how many babies people could have and stuff. And I was like, where have people got this from? I was like, whoa. And then that's the trouble as well. There was four people on there, and all of them claimed to be advocates of the Venus Project and resource-based economy and studying it for 10 years. And they're all arguing about what it is and what it isn't. And they all had these strange ideas about how many babies you could have and all these things.
That's dictatorship, like, and monarchy. Like,
yeah, I'm like, wow. Obviously it's complicated stuff at the end of the day. It is complicated stuff to actually understand it. But we don't need to get sold on the Venus Project. I don't know. I've never interacted. The way I see it, the Venus Project, they aren't like me, you know. They're not street people. They seem to be, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think I'd be welcome there, basically. Like, to be honest, you know what I mean? I swear too much. I'm too, like, you know, I just don't, I'm like, and I've never really tried to interact. I've never gone to any of their meetings or anything. Like, I've studied a lot, and they've put a lot of work in, and they've answered a lot of intricate questions, and they basically put out and that's what Jack planned to do. He's put the framework there. Yeah, and we can take it. And a lot of people talk about the AI aspect of it and stuff. Like, that doesn't have necessarily be, you know. Oh, that's one thing someone's talking about. They're talking about government. One guy was saying there is going to be a government. And I was like, what? There's not going to be no government. Like, I don't think you understand resource-based economy. Like, why do people keep telling me to read the frequently asked questions? And it's because you don't understand it. Like, people can't answer your question because it doesn't exist. There is no government. No one ever said that. You need to go back, like, you know. And people, like, I think a lot as well, because a lot of people come to the Venus Project, like me, that come from like the conspiracy background. Like, they watched the Zeitgeist movie, which they got attracted to because of the 9/11 conspiracy and stuff, and all the economic side of it, the complicated side of it that Peter Joseph talks about, kind of goes to the back, you know, and they like, they realize that capitalism thing, they hear about economic hitmen, they get the core aspects of it. But then when you start thinking about the psychology and why, it takes a lot of work. I got, like, after my DMT experiences, something happens as well when, after you break through on properly on DMT like that, I had this drive, my intelligence there become more intelligent, but like I could suddenly read books. I'm quite OCD and ADHD. Like you say, I lose track of what I'm talking about a lot. And so like reading, I end up daydreaming. Like reading was always hard for me. And it, to be honest, it's harder now, but after when I smoked DMT for like 3 years, I was going every day, I started dressing like in tweed jackets, wearing trousers instead of tracksuits and stuff like that. And I started reading books. I was going to the library. And all I wanted to do was read and write. And I started reading books. I studied a lot of this stuff. And basically the core aspect of it, I don't know what I'm going on about now, I'm just ranting again. But basically I'm just trying to explain how difficult it is. And I understand, like, it took me a lot of years of like reading, and I watched the Zeitgeist movies probably 5, 6, 7 times, like same, over and over before I could actually understand it. You know, I was like trying to get my head around it, going over Peter Joseph's words, because he uses big words too, right? That I don't get. I'm like, what are these words, man? I've got dictionaries upon dictionaries just trying to understand what he's talking about. But I feel like I finally got, but the core aspect of it, I feel, is like we can argue about the inner workings of it all we want, like, but I think the core aspect, the idea is no money. I think that's what we need, isn't it? No money. Once you take away money, yeah, and then look about dividing all the resources and then how that goes about, that's all we really need to think about. I don't, like, there's no point we were arguing about the details of it, because that could all be thought out once we actually start. Because people way cleverer than us, you know, people that are good at analytics, good at coming up with algorithms and problem solving. There's people that could do this stuff, you know, the details of it. But yeah, the reason I started this was to say I'm not sold on the Venus Project, basically, because as long as we understand the idea of resource-based economy and a moneyless society, like, it doesn't have to be the Venus Project, you know. Because I've heard a lot of people read the Venus Project and they might not like this part of it or they might not like that part of it. Like, don't start arguing about that and throw it out the window, like throw the bathwater out with the dummy or whatever they call it. Just think about resource-based economy and that idea. And obviously it's a big idea, isn't it? And like, we need to get, this is what I'd like to talk about as well. This is what we should talk about before we finish, is like, everyone's talking about a transition. Everyone wants to talk about a transition towards resource-based economy. And obviously I've got one idea, and it's obviously other people's idea is just to spiritually awaken us and hope we get there, spread the idea. Obviously we need education. We need to spread it as much as we can. Obviously that still needs to be the main thing. Like Jack believed in education. As long as everyone is educated enough, then they'd understand it, you know, and I believe that as well. Like, that's why I say people need to try and get their head around it properly, bring every conversation to it, like in the daytime, and spread it, like, so it becomes like part of our consciousness. People start thinking about the big picture instead of just moaning about shit. But one idea, but basically I have this theory that if we could get 1%, only just 1% of the world's population in on it, that actually fully proper understand resource-based economy and moneyless society, how it could work, why it needs to work, and then we could just protest. I believe, if you look at the, I don't know if you watched that beginning of that video, Adam Curtis thing, where he says that, he explains in some of his videos that protest can work. And if you Google it, just top 10 protests in the world and stuff like that, a lot of big social change has been brought about, and it is a proven way of bring around real social change. Look at the suffragettes, look at the Malcolm X, Gandhi, all these protests, yeah, all peaceful protests that changed the world, like literally changed the world, got the black vote, got the women vote. I can't remember what Gandhi was actually fighting for, like it was assault, something to do with salt, wasn't it? But he made big changes and changed the world, these people, and these were protests. And nowadays we have protests, right? Instagram fucking, I call them Instagram demonstrations more than protests. I don't know, because there's a bunch of people holding separate flags about this and that. And all they're really doing is taking social media profile pictures and just trying to look cool and all this bullshit. And they don't really, they're protesting about masks. We don't want to have masks. We don't have, like, great. Yeah, great. Protests about that shit. But like, we need to be, they don't work, nothing changes. Well, people protest about shit all the time, right? And the reason it doesn't, nothing changes, is because they don't have an idea. They protest, they hit the streets, and they say, please, Mr. Government, please, can you come up with a solution to the problem that you created? And the government's like, yeah, of course we will, guys, bear yeah. with us. Yeah, and then they come up with fucking some solution that creates another problem. Yeah, so if we had enough people that understood, them same people, like 1% of the world's population would be, I don't know the population of America, but it's going to be like millions of people in each city. Like, is it more than people any protest ever had? A million people is crazy amount of people. I went to a concert in Wembley once, and there was 100,000 people there, and it took 4 hours of queues of hordes of people the eye could see, and it was like literally that 100,000 people was beyond my comprehension, really. Like, that many people, a million people would be mind-boggling in any city, would shut down any city, right? And anyone else that wasn't there would have to listen to what them people are saying. And if them people were saying resource-based economy, yeah, we have an idea, this will change the world, fuck the government, fuck all the billionaires, we don't need them. Right, we all come together, we use this technology, we use the infrastructure we've all got, and we share everything as one. And we had all that going on in every city around the world. And I believe that we could do it, like, literally overnight, you know? I know it's a far-fetched dream. And but it's the only, I don't, a lot of people, well, I just think it's worth trying, you know, at least. Yeah. It's getting that 1%, I feel, is the hard thing, maybe.
Yeah, it's not really far-fetched, because if you're looking at history, it's when they say how to eat an elephant, you have to eat it bite by bite. You can't just eat the whole thing. So like, we are here now, we have a camera to talk to. And I don't know if you remember in those old movies, that was just an idea that was far-fetched. But someone else actually go like, okay, let me try to do it. Even you're into, what's that movie called? Star Wars. They're working in the hologram thing now. Like, I saw a thing on YouTube about it. It's shaky, but they're working on it. So you never know, even like the phone and tablet. We remember Star Trek and all this stuff. So
say it's far-fetched. I say it's far-fetched, but I do believe it's possible. Like, I wouldn't say it if I didn't think it's possible.
Right.
Like, you know.
Probably not.
The reason I say it's far-fetched is just because I know other people's opinion. Like, people... I don't know why, but a lot of people in the Venus Project or around the zeitgeist, resource-based economy, they don't believe in it, really, or think that that's a viable option. But no one else seems to have any other options. They
Well, bingo, you are right. A lot of people just like to complain and say, hey, government, take care of it for me. That's most people, even like the smallest thing. Even if you're looking at a family unit, like, the children might complain about something they probably can do themselves, but they don't want the parent to do it for them. Or a wife might want the husband to do it. And then the husband who go to work want their boss to do it, because that's not my job. Like, I went to a place that I volunteer at. The bathroom is disgusting. And then I was looking for gloves, and someone said, what are you looking for? And I was like, I want gloves. And like, why? And I said, because I want to clean the bathroom. And they says, oh, that's not your job, someone else will do it. And I was like, no, I've been there for weeks. Like, and then
everyone was like, yeah, like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring gloves next week to clean it, because I'm there. It's my business. I don't worry.
I wouldn't, like, I pick up rubbish on my dog walks, And I do get set. A lot of people have been told, I do have a sense of arrogance about me, a lot of time. I do get called arrogant, or people more so when I was younger, people say, oh, you think you're so much better than everybody, because I always think I'm right and stuff. I'd be argumentative if I was in a thing. But in a sense, like, sometimes I think, yeah, I do think I'm better than fucking you. Like, I'm the only cunt that I see. You all think I'm a weirdo because I'm picking up rubbish out of the street and the dog walk. I'm the only one walking around with piss, like filled bottles and shit and putting them in bins. And that makes me a weirdo, you know? And I do, sometimes I think, I look at people and I think, sometimes, yeah, I can leave a bottle. I'll see something on the field and I think, I'm not going to pick that up. Like, I'll just see, if anyone else picks up. They never fucking do. No one, like how many hundreds of people go past this thing every day. And that's why I do sometimes, I can't help it. Sometimes I do feel like I judge other people sometimes. I look down on other people because I feel like, I call it like people that are switched off in that. And it's like, you shouldn't know, because I do understand why they're like that. It's like, yeah, like that's the important part. And remembering that there's a reason they're like that, right, you know?
People tend to say it's not mine because I do clean my corner at least
once. Going and cleaning the toilet though, that's the next step, man. That's awesome. I wouldn't go that far. But I will now though. I reckon I would now. If I had to go there every day, I would.
Yeah, I use it. So another thing too, actually was thinking about that because I was talking to someone there who wanted to be a yogi and whatever. So they went to be a student of a master. And then for 10 years, like the first time, they're excited, like, yeah, I want to study. And the master says, you're in charge of the latrines of the village. And then he was offended. Like, I didn't come here for a clean latrine, whatever. And the master says, when you're ready to get your enlightenment, let me know. And he's like, well, I'm ready. And he says, okay, go clean the toilet then.
Yeah. And that's why I said, sorry to cut you up. That's why I said I believe my mixed martial arts and that was part of it. You know, me being humble, choked out and stuff.
Yes.
Like, as they know in Buddhism, and I believe that they send trainee monks out to beg for rice, right? Because it humbles somebody, you know? And I had that experience of not begging for money, but going to car boot sales 4 o'clock in the morning, selling all my belongings to make money for my addiction and stuff like that. That's the same type of thing, you know? And sorry to interrupt, but yeah, that was the significance of being humble. Yeah. And they understand that, and it's a big part of it, you know?
Certainly, and that's how I feel. Then when you're humble, we all have ego and we just have to keep it in check. And then you'll practice more to keep it in check. And nothing with the cleaning bathroom. I do that in my house.
Yeah.
So all I need is gloves and a mask, because I do that in my house anyway, because I was thinking about that, because people were saying, like, why would you clean the toilet? And I'm like, I use it. How about if I want to take a poop? I'm going to sit on this filth? No. Because I know women, what they do is they're on their tiptoe and they're doing all this gymnastics when we can get together and clean the damn toilet. Like, what the hell? But in my neighborhood in the summer, I don't do it in wintertime, I would go like even 5 blocks. And I was just like, this is mad. So I just did it like 1 block, like where I live, like in an end. And then even like the landlord and some people who pass by, they're like, you know, we have cleaners on a Tuesday that goes around that sweeps. But I'm like, so I'm gonna wait 6 days to wait for a cleaner, and in those 6 days I'm kicking filth. And I'm like, no, I'm just gonna clean it. And of course I'm get called the weirdo who look at me weird, like, why are you in the gutter? Because I'm cleaning the gutter literally. Because you know what happens when it snows and when it rains? It gets filled up with trash and it creates a pool like up to your knees. When it rains, it goes to up to your knees because all the gutters. Actually, if you probably look on YouTube, last year, there were rainstorms in New York City and homes were flooded. And why? Because the gutters had so much trash in them. Because people will not take care of their trash.
People looking like you're a weirdo.
Yes.
It's bad. It's fucked.
New York City, they limited a lot of trash cans because they had a program to say, take your trash home. Because we don't have the workers. We don't have the money to have trash cans. People, you know what they did? They just dump it on the street. So New York City had to bring back the trash bins.
Do you know what it is? I know what it, like, it's fear at the end of the day, isn't it? It's fear. Like, I know it's like, you can take it to lots of things, I suppose, but at the end of it, like, they're scared because people are looking at you like a weirdo, and they're scared to be looked at like a weirdo, even though they probably, some part of them knows that you're doing the right thing and that they wish they had the guts to go and do the right thing, you know? So it's just fear. And it's sad that we're all in this state of fear, so scared to step out of line, you know, and to be, and to stick out and to be pointed at and prodded. And I'm not surprised why, let's face it. If you step out of line nowadays, you fucking, you can get pinned up on social. I hate this as well.
They take your livelihood away.
Yeah. Like people, I see this stuff all the time, like some strange looking dude or someone dressed bad and someone influencer will put on their thing. Like, look at this guy. Ha ha. Look at this. That's somebody, that's somebody. And like, so like millions of people sharing it around the world. Ha, look at this clown, this idiot. It's just somebody that looks quite ugly or thing and that, you know, or dressed, can't afford clothes, got their knickers up their ass or something stupid, you know? And it's spread all around. People committing suicide over this.
Yes, I made a video about that. It's bullying. People think bullying stops in grade school or high school. No, people bully.
It blows my mind how it just goes on. I got banned today from Facebook. Because I was like, someone commented on Tony Blair. I don't know if you're about Tony Blair and the war in Iraq, but he bombed like over a million innocent people in Iraq, under the guise that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. This was proved false. There was no weapons of mass destruction. It was a lie. It's false pretenses. He's a war criminal. He murdered them people for no just reason. Right? And I just called him a war criminal on this thing because he's got a knighthood. So they asked the question as well on the thing, what do you think about Tony Blair getting a knighthood? I said, he's a war criminal. He should be tried and flogged in the streets. All the money he stole should go back to Iraq and that. It weren't a big comment. And I got banned for it. But they actually, and I was thinking, I've got banned for that, but the post I'm looking at, right, like underneath mine, is someone with like 1.5 million likes on it, and it's laughing at someone's appearance on a real person's appearance, and it's being spread, and there's every comment, ha, look at this ugly cunt, look at this fucking thing, look at, I'm like, every comment, I'm like, what, how have I been banned? And this is spreading everywhere.
Because you're fixing something and everyone else they're destroying. They love the destroyers and the fixers. They got to get rid of you because they want the system to stay corrupted and shit. That's what it is. Because it's the same thing happened to me. Like, I was not Ben, but a photo of mine got kicked out of Twitter. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's got kicked out of Twitter, but what's used on Twitter? I'm not against porn, by the way. I'm not against it, but this is flooded with porn. So how is a meme, like a child can look at the meme, but you leave porn there, but you're going to take off my meme because it goes against Twitter policy and you're going to send me a link to read your fucking 10-page shit? Like, are you kidding?
Do you know what I seen today as well? Because I was looking at my ban history. And the thing I didn't notice, I got a flag on, was there's a picture, you've probably seen it online, of a deer getting eaten by wolves, right? And it says on the quote, a mother deer watching her young go away, and the deer's calm as you like, and it's getting eaten. And that picture had been removed, and I got a flag for it as false information. They said this is proven that deer wasn't looking at its doe. I'm like, And as I'm looking, there's this guy who's just posted about a million videos of how the reptilian and the Anunnaki have come down and they've enslaved like humanity. Like every single post is complete and utter conspiracy nonsense, but yet they've never flagged or taken down. But one thing about a deer getting eaten, it's like, what? Are they off their fucking head? Like, come on, man. I seen that today and I was like, are they serious? This is false, is it? Like this, like what?
So mental.
Flat Earth. Flat Earth's okay. The 500 posts I've just seen about Flat Earth and the Anunnaki stealing my soul, that's all okay, is it? Yeah? But this deer, like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I wanted to ask you, so why does spiritual enlightenment and socioeconomics matters to you? And what ideas do you think, like, can definitely... that we can implement, or maybe you have implemented yourself? Enlightenment and socioeconomic change.
Like, literally, I think we spoke about that earlier, haven't we?
Yeah, but like things that you either implemented in your life or ways you think it will change. Because we talked about it, but not kind of like
Well, obviously, you know, like you've heard the saying, be the change, isn't it? Be the change you want to see. Was yeah. Michael Jackson bloody said it. Be the look at the man in the mirror. Like, it's good right. advice, regardless of what you think of Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. You won't go there. But like, that is good advice. I do understand that. And it is, everyone needs to be the change. You can't just judge everybody else, you know what I mean, for what they do. It's about what we do. And if everyone focused on themselves and be the best person they can, then obviously the world would be a better place. Like, that's one thing. Try and focus. I do my best to focus on myself and just be. And obviously, and the thing is as well, we can't chastise ourselves or anybody else for what they do and take part. I always say that, because we're all enslaved, we don't have a choice. You know what I mean? We have to do this stuff. Like, everyone has to make money. Everyone has to do whatever you want and that. But like, if everyone can just be conscious, I think everyone needs to charge themselves, or what I do myself anyway, is my best. And I think this is helping change the world, regardless of whatever people. I know everyone else just wants me to play the game of bullshit with them. But like you say, like, not playing the game of bullshit, I think that's the big part. Not getting sucked in to the bullshit arguments, yeah, that take you down one hole and not make you look at the big picture. Just always keep bringing stuff back to the big picture, basically. And I do that a lot. And spiritually, like, I don't know, like, how, like, it's strange. Like, I don't really implement that as much. Like, obviously, practices, what I found, like, I made the conscious choice of embracing my ego. Like, I decided, like I said, I believe I experienced in spiritual enlightenment. Like, I describe, I died, though. Basically, I died. Like, I become one. And if I was going to describe that experience, yeah, I described it before as, like, literally as being boring. Like, it's being boring, yeah. Being one is boring. Like, I know it's like it's like the easiest way to describe it, or like the whatever. But it was like, imagine knowing everything and everything that's ever been and ever will be, and knowing it all at once. That's what it's like. And I know it's hard, but once you know everything and you've done everything, there's nothing to be experienced, you know. So it's just like, there's no point. That's why we have duality. That's why we created this duality, to experience ourselves, to have something to experience. Without duality, there is no existence here, you know. This is all existing on this plane only. And off this plane, like, we can go back to one, but then, like, that's basically like nothing. I don't know where I'm going. But like, so basically, like I described, so instead of, so that happened, yeah. And then after that, I embraced the ego. I understood that we're all one. So I just embraced the ego. So I didn't put any of my then practices into my, like, I basically denounced it all. Like, before that, though, I suppose we could talk about what I did to get to that stage. Like, was, and that's why the MMA, the meditation, the exercise, smoking DMT, mushrooms, meditation, all that sort of things. But then I denounced it, which I feel, and that's what led me as well strongly, even more strongly, to believe that we need resource-based economy. Because even though I believe I found salvation, right, and I was no longer depressed about anything, I was basically living in the now. I understood that there is no past and or present, there is only now, and I was living in it and I was happy. But living in that now, like, basically I got sucked back in, and I realized I got sucked back in, and all these forces, outside forces, were because of the system again. So it just reinforced, like, the fact that we need system change as well as spiritual enlightenment. So I believe I experienced spiritual enlightenment. It changed my life, like, amazingly. Like, for like 2 or 3 years I was living the dream, but slowly but surely, like, all the memories, the thoughts of past and the worries of future all come back. And I basically, I would say I'm the same, but I'm kind of basically in the same place I was before I had that. But I've got the underlying knowledge that we are all one, but I don't feel like I'm connected like I was then. You know, I feel like I think about, because obviously thinking about resource-based economy is worrying about the future, really, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So in a way, living in the now, I kind of sometimes think could be thought of as selfish, you know, because if you're living in the now, you're not worried about the future. If you're not worried about the future, you're not going to be worried about resource-based economy, you know? So it's like a kind of, like, I don't know the word, but like a contradiction of finding the connection and wanting to change. That's where the Jedi comes into it, because in ancient Hermetic philosophy, they believe what I described it as well as enlightenment. They call it the rising of the Jedi. You can look into that. Anyone's never heard of it, like Google the Jedi or the rising of the Jedi. It's a really interesting stuff. It describes like the markings on the pyramids, what them giant light bulbs are and stuff, the Kundalini serpent, the 33 vertebra. It's really interesting. And it basically describes the same as me. And it says that Jedi's light bearers, yeah, it calls them self-incarnating light beings, yeah, which is basically, so I was reincarnated. That's what they call like the rebirth of Christ. Like you die, you have an enlightenment speaking, you die and you're reborn, right? You're born again. And that's what happened. And then when people are born again, they can shine the light of the oneness, yeah, on other people. And they call them light bearers. And it says, it describes them as in certain periods in the time when humanity need them, Jedis will rise and to become light bearers. And I can't remember the proper description, but basically it describes that they're warriors. Yeah, they're people that understand that there's trouble and stuff needs to be changed. And they sacrifice themselves as, like, obviously in the Star Wars, they depict them as with lightsabers, cutting people up and stuff like that. As fight, they fight against bad, you know, they don't just become good. They fight against evil. They stand up for like the good by fighting. Like they sacrifice their own selves to fight for the poor and the others, right? And so I take that as that instead of being balanced and connected to oneness and living in the now, like I see it as my duty and sacrifice to suffer, to think about the future, yeah, to worry in a sense about the future, which you shouldn't do. But because I'm a Jedi, I believe that it's my responsibility to take this on, yeah, when other people can't take this on and spread the light and the word and shit or whatever. I don't know how or what I'm meant to do. But instead of the sword, it's the word, you know, you take the S off and we battle. And the word is just as, can cut just as deep as a sword, right? Any word can cut just as deep as a sword. So I believe that, like, in some sort of biblical sense, this is what I've chose anyway. Like, I just, as my identity is to be a Jedi, that I am one of these light bearers, a warrior, that, so in it, I'm not going to, like, live in the now and be selfish. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I don't know. I'm rambling on now. Sorry.
Do you have a real lightsaber? Is it a lightsaber?
Yeah.
I got like a real one that comes, like has real flame? I saw that on IG. I don't know how real it is. Oh, is that the one?
You can't see it because the light. So the battery's yeah.
I saw one on IG. I don't know how much Photoshop it was. It was like just the black part. And then once you press a button, fire comes out of it. And it, I think it probably was, because I think everyone would have that. And it would probably be dangerous.
I've seen a program that actually they believe the science is possible. Like this guy was explaining the science of some stuff, of how actually they built the pyramids. It was like some geopolymer theory.
And oh, turn your light back on.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I go off on tangents. There's a reason I was talking about the Jedi.
Yeah,
What was your question? How did I go?
Yes. Question about how the science of the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say. Yeah, there was a. Because that's interesting as well, just to go off on something completely different. Like, the pyramids and stuff like that, our ancient culture. Like, I believe that they were basically spiritually enlightened beings. And there was, I believe there was a civilization that spread throughout Earth, right? That was all linked all together as one, like you call it Atlantis or whatever. But I've traveled, I've been to Egypt, I've been to Malta, I've been to Stonehenge, these places, yeah, they're all, people call them on ley lines and that. And have you heard of the frequency 111? They call it God's frequency. Well, I believe these temples that are all around the world, these megalithic structures, these people, they meditated and harnessed the frequency of 111. And it's all basically the same thing. It helps you reach enlightenment, the rising of the Kundalini, the same thing that I was talking about with the Egyptians. And this culture spread, there's evidence of this, it spread all around the planet. And I believe like that culture must have been amazing, a proper spiritually enlightened culture. The Egyptians obviously started in Africa and spread all across, well, I believe it started in Africa. It went to Easter Island, where it's everywhere. I'm not really sure where it started. But obviously, the best examples of it was Egypt and the pyramids.
Yeah.
I just go, I just talk shit. I don't know what I'm talking about again.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, this is like good time because we had 2 hours chat. I totally appreciate you and getting to know you, and thank you for chatting, and I'm glad to make a new friend. You.
Yeah, same. And maybe we could you could come on my podcast as well one day.
Someday. Yeah, sure. I need to watch more of your stuff because, like, I think
there's nothing
the last
to watch.
24 hours. No, I'm sure there's plenty. Like the stuff I was watching. Another first thing I got to, I was like, I don't know if you see or consider yourself as, but I was like, this is a funny guy. Like your videos, I'm watching them, but I'm laughing and I'm having a good time. So, yeah. But I need to, I can nice watch stuff. More just because. As we were talking, you sent me stuff so I can prepare for the podcast. So I was just like preparing, but then later on, I can actually get to know you more based on what you said, et cetera. Yeah. I don't have.
I'm sorry if I go off in rants and that. Maybe if like when you edit it, it might, you might be able to, might be able to make it look good. I don't know. I'm sure you make a good job.
So with the renting, I don't know. Maybe you can look at that personally if you want. I feel that, I think I mentioned that probably, people want to shut you down and telling you you're weird, so that's why they're telling you you talk too much or you're renting. So basically, yeah, like, yeah. If someone don't want to hear you, fuck them.
Yeah
at least for me, that's my thing. Oh, if someone the thing don't want to hear me, fuck them.
I go off on tangents as well though. I'd like to, like, I can't think now what I've said. Like, and I'm trying to think if I said what I wanted to say, or like if I actually got my point across, because I go off on a tangent and I forget what I was originally going off on about. And I'm not sure.
I do similar thing. I just, if someone asks me, sense. Hey, did you eat the apple? I'll speak for 10 minutes before I answer that question. So I'm saying I recognize actually as I'm doing the podcast, that's why it's like it helps to have a guess and ask them questions and let them speak, because when it's my turn to speak, actually now since I'm doing this, a lot of people wants me to be a guest now because they see my podcast. They're like, hey, get on my platform. So I've been learning to be direct, but at the same time, actually someone asked me and I told them, so do you want me to, what are the rules of your platform? Do you want me to go through you with your rules, or do you want me to be me? Yeah, and it's just be you. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to be the ADHD or whatever. And that's what it is.
It's just me being harsh on myself, I think, you know?
Yeah. But I think it's understandably, it's because of society. I, believe it or not, like I grew up stuttering and I used to be silent for like a long part of my life.
Oh, wow. You've done amazing if you do stuff. you don't see it at all now.
Well, I do notice where it, watching videos, I make fun of myself, not like put myself down, but like being, you know, when they say, if you cannot make fun of yourself, then you're too serious. I was like, wow. Yeah. When I speak to people, I tell them, I don't speak English. If I'm saying anything, you don't understand anything I'm saying because I'm rambling and I'm just like in my head. I used to write papers and my teacher is like, why is there so many words missing? because
I do that with a sunshine. I know.
Yeah, I'm thinking I wrote them down, but it was just in my head. And because now I'm a writer, I'm writing all this stuff, and I have to read them twice. Because when I read it, I was just like, oh, why? If I'm saying, please tell me more about you, I say, please about you. I just don't put the more in.
I do it daily on Facebook, but yeah, I still don't proofread back. I do it all the time. Like one of the occasions I post it and then I'll read it back and I'll just be like, oh my God, I've missed out like so many words. I have to go back. But I still never proofread anything. I post it first, then I read it and I'm like, oh, one day I'll start doing that.
Yeah, I feel like if people are allowed to be themselves without shame and the guilt, and the judgments, people can just relax and have no anxiety.
Well, I knew I could relax with you anyway and say what I want, because one of the first video I watched of you, you said, you're saying your Instagram and that, you said Pornhub, not really, really, maybe, not really. I was like, those guys are hilarious. I love him. And straight away, I was like, yeah, you don't give a shit. It's just funny.
Yeah, because I made these platforms to not have shame. So I was just like, who cares? I am on OnlyFans and all this stuff, so fuck you.
Oh, Pornhub, sorry, not Pornhub. That's yeah, one step further in it. That's a step further. Yeah.
Did you look me up on Pornhub? Because I'm there too. Oh,
fuck's sake. You fucking
hey, capitalist. 2020, whore. Cancel me. I need a way to make money, all right? None of these judgmental people are offering to pay my rent. Mate,
fair play. Like, at the end of the day, you see all the money women are making, just taking pictures of themselves and posting on it. Like, but I don't feel like there's a market. Maybe there's a gay market for it, I don't know. But I don't feel like there's a women market for straight males. Maybe there is, and I'm silly. It's like, there is.
Yeah, there is, and you're missing out. I'm telling you. Funny thing is, I joined the OnlyFans group on Facebook that Facebook and IG kept, what's that thing called? Putting in jail. For some reason, they don't like OnlyFans, but I was in this group. And the funny thing is, it was a lot of women and some guys were making a lot of money. And I don't know if you know that term where it was gay for pay. Even like back then, I think 10 years ago, you had to do it physically. But now you do it online. You just take.
I actually watched a documentary on that. And,
you make your money.
But porn stars doing gay porn. And but a lot of them would commit suicide as well. They thought they could cope with it because for the money. And like this was the documentary about the psychology behind it. Like one of the guys doing it was obviously making, he said, it's like, I'm not gay at all, but he does gay porn and he makes good money and justifies it. And it was just like, it's kind of strange. And apparently there's a lot of suicides. But like, obviously that's like, we're talking about doing stuff for money and that, like, I feel it, like, obviously that's bad. Like, women shouldn't have to sell their bodies. And I believe that's a big justification of capitalism. At the end of the day, like, a lot of these people perpetuate capitalism because they're ugly and don't feel like they can get, like, most people in our society, even if they're good looking, even if they're good, and to be honest, it doesn't, and that's the truth of it now, really. Even if you are good, well, you still will get sex. You'll get sex, but you probably won't get the really pretty girl to keep, you know, because they want the guy with money, and that's how people think. And everyone, so when you got these guys that are ugly, they're like, I ain't never getting a woman, I'm not a sportsman, I'm not good at that, I'm not good at this, I'm ugly, how am I ever going to get these beautiful women? I have to become a millionaire, like, and I feel like that perpetuates it, you know.
So it pays to be ugly, literally.
Yeah. Like it's, and I remember thinking, like, I've gone through this thought process before. Like, not blaming women, but like, imagine if women stopped selling themselves for money and stopped and actually become like real moral, like embrace the divine feminine that's in them all and actually found out their true being and strength and weren't willing to sell themselves for men and money. And like the world would change. Like they could have men at the grip, like the palm of that. They could control men so easily. Like without, if they weren't willing to accept their money, they could change this world and make it so they didn't have to do that.
Like I say those things.
It's all our responsibility. We as men, though, as well, like shouldn't like, and I don't like, I don't use, you know, I don't look at women like that, and I don't perpetuate that idea, you know, that women are sex slaves and to be bought with money and all these sort of things. Like, but again, like, it's all part of capitalism, isn't it? You know?
I totally agree. As you were speaking that, I was thinking that, because I'm not, I don't have a, I just have a humanity code. I don't have a moral code, because if you go different cultures, there's different morals. So therefore, I'm not against overall pornography, but at the same time, if you look in deep into it, part of, just like part of most things can have the ugly side. The ugly side of pornography is the part of where Pornhub had to stop, what's that thing called? Either pirating videos or people being taken advantage of, sex trade or whatever, slaves and whatever. Yeah, those parts are bad. But at least for me, the stuff that I like is, I like amateur couples, like people who get together, they agree to have a video online and they have a following. They probably make money, definitely. But if money was not part of it, I feel like some people love to be the showing and some people love to be the voyeur. And as I'm watching, I'm the voyeur. So I feel like that part of pornography is clean because two adults agree to do something, to post it, because they get a kick from people watching them. But when you get on the ugly side,
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah. But when you get on the ugly side, there is the side of, because I've spoken to people where she said that her boyfriend was, when she was on drugs, her boyfriend would have guys come over for money to do her. She was aware of it, but she was under the influence. And that happened for like 17 years. So it's kind of like, that's the bad part of it, because they put that online, then someone is watching that. They're getting a kick out of the, it's not humanity. You know what I'm saying? So just like anything, most things, I feel like there's, it can be good, but then with human greed and money and capitalism, then it can get the ugly. But into each their own. Like, some people have a moral and they say porn is bad, period. And that's theirs. You know, like, I've had partners in the past where we do stuff and then we even watch it ourselves. Like,
why,
is that
why
bad?
Why do they say it's bad? Like, I don't know if I'd, I don't know. I've never really thought of it. I'm listening to you now, and the way you're talking about it, I've never heard that frame of thought, like the way you're talking about it. And like, because the way I just see it, as sex lowers our vibration, you know, like, you must see, like, all throughout society how sex is used to keep us on a low vibration. And I have this theory that, like, the lesser connected to source you are, the more driven by primal urges you are. So, like, a monkey will have sex 21 times a day, say, yeah, because they're like a primal being. They're driven by pure primal instincts, you know. I'm not saying they're not conscious beings, but they're not self-aware, conscious like that we can be, you know. And they don't understand how they're fully connected to all in that sense, right? They're just literally driven by their primal urges, having sex all the time. And I believe that some people, like, I believe that's like a frequency that we're kept on, like, and sex, and that's why, like, they say sex sells, because there's so many ways it sells. Like, people, they use tits and that to sell a car, because they convince men that they need to get the beautiful woman, they need to have this fancy car, right? Mm-hmm. And it keeps, so sex, and then everyone's driven, like, when they see sex, they think, oh, I want them titties. And it keeps us down on that frequency of just being driven by primal urges. Makes us really easy to control, predictable, yeah. And it makes us good consumers, basically, like, because we need to go. We like, oh, we want sex. How are we going to get sex? I want that fucking beautiful girl with the fake titties. How are we going to get that? Well, you need money. You need that car. You need that suit he's wearing. You need that thing. And they're like, oh, I need that watch. I need, you know, all that sort of things. Yeah, and they go and get that to get that sex. And it keeps them on that consumer frequency. And so when people are driven by sex all the time, porn, obviously porn being spread, that all just plays part of it, like soft porn. Like, then as soon as you see a pair of tits and that, like, it loads, keeps you, like, you think, oh, like your primal instincts take over, and it loads you straight down on the frequency that also is great to get you to consume. And on that frequency as well, people get depressed, right? Because they can't get the girl and that. And then when people are depressed and angry, they then become even more better consumers. And for obviously the women, they need to put the makeup on. They need to get the fake hair, the fake tits, the dress, all that sort of thing. That's all money. So it just keeps perpetuating it. And like, mm-hmm. in the sense of porn being good or bad, like obviously you said, like, people like having sex, like group sex. Like, I imagine instead of putting it into a video context, like, and selling it, yeah. And because people do have gangbangs, like, and people enjoy it, you know, group sex and stuff like that. And I go, okay, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Like, consensual sex, if people enjoy it, there's just nothing wrong with that. Well, I suppose what comes the problem is when you're selling it, using it to sell other stuff and to keep people on that frequency. Mm. And the dangers of it are obviously becoming addicted to porn, because mm-hmm. when it's, because everyone, like, kids become addicted to porn, and then they have unrealistic expectations of women, and then again it drives their women to need to meet them expectations and
yeah.
all sorts of things. And men think they need to be like this super stud, and they're even having plastic surgery and stuff now. So I always think in terms of that, as in set terms of good or bad, like selling it on the internet, I think's bad. Having it on the internet for all to go, kids and anybody to see free on the thing, is bad. Like, but is it dictatorship? To you, like, you can't stop that, though. You know, it should be a choice. But the thing is, if our society was a healthy society,
yeah.
and wasn't driven and wasn't kept on this low frequency by everything, we wouldn't be driven to the porn in the first place. You uh-huh. know? And I think we're better, like, we're not just driven like sexual beings. It's not just about, obviously that is our main focus. Everyone just wants to keep their genes going at the end of the day. But I believe, like, we're better than that. Like, we're spiritual beings, you know, we're not monkeys. We're not primates. I believe we're spiritual beings. Then we know that because we have this, expanded consciousness somehow, that we evolved into these spiritual beings, you know. You know, I think we need to get off that lower frequency.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. And it's I don't want to say it's challenging, because then that would put the spell, words are spells. It's something to look at and to aspire to do. And as we mentioned, that men in the mirror, we have to do it ourselves. Because I was talking to a friend in the kitchen, and I was saying, I was like, yeah, life is great and we get better every day, but nothing, I don't think we'll ever see that paradise that we're told in Christianity or whatever.
Man,
and I caught myself, I was like, wait a minute, that's not true. Because me saying that is because I believe it won't ever happen. And if I believe so, I believe that I'm part of the problem. So how about I say it will happen, because I know I'm on track. I do my best to treat people right. And especially when people are against me, especially when that happens, because when I see it, I know it triggers me to give them the opposite of what's the against. I give them love and kindness and compassion and empathy. Or even if I don't say anything, I just listen to them and I say, you are right. I understand how you feel. Or if I need to, I just say sorry. Even if I don't believe or feel that way, but I know that's
it's the law of attraction. You know that. And I actually do believe it, though. Like, I'm not just trying to trick the universe that I believe it. I believe it because I can vision it. I can see it like in my mind. I can picture it. I can really picture it. I picture this day, like, when we're going to be in the streets and I'm going to be crying with joy. And then a few years later, we're going to have spaceships. We're going to fly around. It's going to be like the Venus Project playing out. Everyone's going to be happy. It's going to be fucking beautiful. Like, it's going to be amazing, right? There might be lots of way, like, it might be treacherous when we get there, but I really do see it. And I can picture it. And sometimes I picture it. I get happy with it. This is going to happen. Like, it's going to happen one day. It is going to happen. Like,
it will, certainly. I was watching like maybe a British or European movie, like back in maybe 300, whatever, King George, etc., where if they're talking to, like, it'll take 3 days to get this fucking town. Nowadays, probably gonna take what, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Like 80 miles per hour, get there in 45 minutes. But then in that movie, they're talking, it takes 3 days, and it's in England. And I look at the map, like, England is small. And it takes 3 days to get there.
It's not that big on the map.
So imagine if whoever invented the, like, where we are now, if they were thinking small. It's because they didn't think small, and they didn't let other people let them stay small. And as of 2020, I have been, I don't want to say 100% because I know I'm not 100%, but I would say like 95 to 98% where I'm like, fuck heavy weight on my shoulders. I'm going to do my best to be as an individual human as possible. And of course, also in the collective to connect with people. And doing this podcast had helped me connect with people because I love to connect with people. And I'm tired of walking down the street and I have to look down or make don't eye contact. Or if I say hi to somebody, they're going to clutch their purse or thinking I'm going to mug them or want something from them. And, you know, I was like, you know what? Those fears are yours. I'm going to say hi to you and keep my own regardless how you respond, because how you respond has nothing to do with me. And so it's not perfect yet, but I've been doing it. And of course, I get those feedback of like the thing, but it's great because it's with growth and practice that I keep doing it better and better. So I'm glad that I'm
practicing. I appreciate what you're doing. I've really enjoyed chatting to you.
Like, yes,
you put
certainly.
A smile on my face. I can tell you're a beautiful human being. I'm sure you put a smile on everyone's face.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. Yeah, thank you so much. Your emoji, whenever I see it, is that of you? Because when I see it, I laugh because it's laughing too.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
It's my Twitch. I did try and do computer streaming games. Like, I had this theory of like, but it was disingenuous in a way, because I was trying to play a character, and my goal was to create an audience then that I could feed resource-based economy into their thing. But I was like lying, you know, I was pretending to be something in order, like, I felt like I was tricking them in a way. Like, this is the stuff that's going through my mind. And lots, I felt like I was getting sucked into the capitalist frame of mind of chasing figures and numbers and stuff. It was a dangerous game I was playing. So I just stopped that anyway. And obviously playing computer games, like, you're feeding quite badly into it, you know, like projecting all that. So I try to just do little videos where I talk crap and that. Like, this was great to talk. On my videos, I'm just going to be talking about stuff that we've talked about on different levels. Well, I'd like to do this again. Like, maybe we could talk about DMT, or maybe when we go on my podcast, we just have it like this, just talk again, because it's just been chatting, really, isn't it?
I enjoyed it.
Hopefully you can edit it, get some good content out of it.
Definitely. And I like to enjoy the process and not letting the outcome, not attaching to the outcome. And also I was noticing in the beginning where I could get caught up with the algorithm or the likes and the whatever. And I had to remind myself, I'm not this body. I'm just like they're experiencing, and I'm not going to get caught up with it. So, because I've noticed one thing, whenever I post a solo video, people unsubscribe because they see what I said and then they don't agree with it. I'm guessing. And then so I was just like,
That's why Joe Rogan's got the idea. That is the good idea, I think. If you can, Joe Rogan sits on the fence as much as he can. Yeah, he says his thing in that, but he won't go too left. He won't go too right, you know. He lets his guests say what he wants them. He gets the guests say what he wants them to say, you know, which is good. I think that's why he's done so well. Because, like, it's just basically trying to sit on the fence, isn't it, a little bit, and try and not split your audience, obviously. Well, that's why I never am going to take off, because I'm so, there's no me sitting on any fence. Like, I upset people all the time, but that's not the way to be, though. Obviously, it's not about sitting on the fence either. It's not about being right. I don't know. Like, Joe is a bit being me on this reason platform sometimes.
Because I did it just because I was just like, you know what, why not do it? And then I started meeting people like you and many people who wants to get on, and I reach out to people who want to chat, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy this. If I make money out of it because I need a roof over my head, fine, but money is not the angle. I'm enjoying the process, because if I was thinking of money, like I would stay strict to my script. I'll stay strict to what I wanted and not be open-minded to a lot of stuff. And I'm meeting great people like you. So it's like,
you've taught me a lot. Like you've reminded me a lot there. I have to stay. It's good though. People all need to keep each other in check, you know. It's good.
Yeah, just enjoy it. I'm just enjoying it myself too. Like I wanted to get on Twitch playing Age of Empires, because like Po said, go on there to make money. And I'm like, money is nice, but I live in New York City for over 10 years now. I'm considered very poor, but I do not have a poor mindset and I do not live in poverty.
Yeah,
I'm poor money-wise, but I'm very rich in life and spirit because I live the way I want to live and I'm content. But 2020 had helped me realize that I need to be a squirrel and save some nuts for the future. So that's where I'm at now, because I probably won't be healthy all the time or be body able all the time. So I need to save money. But in the beginning, like I would just be content. If I don't work for 30 days, I was fine with that because I was enjoying life. But I know I cannot do that forever as a adult. So I just need to.
Well, I think if you keep doing what you're doing, you'll do all right.
Yeah. All right.
You gotta buy it the right way. I really enjoyed it, Matt.
Yeah, same
I wish
here.
You all the best.
Thank you so much. All right.
Appreciate it, brother.
Same. Peace. Have a good love. One. Namaste.
Much love. Really enjoyed it. Take care.